Well, good morning, church. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you this morning on Father's Day, thanking you for the compassion, for the mercy, for the kindness, for the guidance, for the direction, and for that pair of hands that was stretched out on a tree for our sin. Oh God, we are so glad to call you Father, that you have befriended us and adopted us into your family. Oh God, thank you. Open our eyes this morning to understand more of who you are and to live out as children of the Father of lights. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, growing up, I used to enjoy playing games. I know some of you probably enjoyed playing Monopoly growing up. Anybody? My sister would call it monotony. I think she was right. I don't think I've ever finished a game of Monopoly in my life. Started many. I also enjoyed playing football on the video games. It started off with the back with the Atari 2600 football, which really wasn't football. I don't know what it was. It was a bunch of blocks running around. And never really quite understood that. And it grew up into the Nintendo Entertainment System football and Tecmo Bowl. And then it grew into the Sega Genesis and John Madden football. And then it graduated to system from system and PlayStations. And now it is today on your phone or your computer, wherever you play it. There's that football game. And I can remember going back to my Monopoly days and even my early computer or video game football days. And I can remember specifically those times when you were playing and you were really winning. Maybe you were in the game and you really just had it going on that day and you were dominating. And then all of a sudden, the person you were playing said two words that really just ruined it for you. And you know those two words that they said. I quit. And you think, no, this is my day. I'm doing great. I quit. How can you do such a thing to me? I'm enjoying this. Well, then there are those days when you're playing and you score a touchdown on your friend and they take their controller and slam it into the ground. Or maybe they take the Monopoly money and they just slam the board. Whatever it may be, these attributes of playing a game and there is anger, rage, and quit. And I think back to those days and goes, those were the worst games when people got mad and when people quit. Well, fast forward to today, and as I was thinking through the message for today, I thought through, and I want to gear this to you men out there, because I feel like this is an important way for us to see our Father in heaven. There are two things that I want to hit on this morning, and they come from the book of Jonah. Now, for Mother's Day, we looked through the book of Ruth. This morning, we're going to look through the book of Jonah. And I have two things, gentlemen, that I want to encourage us in looking through. And I'm going to call Jonah the Ballad of the Bitter Quitter. The Ballad of the Bitter Quitter. Because there are two things that we see happening over and over in the book of Jonah that I think are helpful to us as men. And ladies, I'm sure this is applicable to you too, oftentimes. But for us and for me as a man, I see things. There are two great temptations in life that really ruin a lot of things. One of them is being bitter, living a bitter life and being angry at someone, at something or some situation in our lives that really guides a lot of our relationships and causes lots of problems. And then, men, the other is to just give up. Just giving up sometimes is a temptation to say, I'm not even going to try anymore. I'm going back to an old way of life. I'm going to live in the flesh rather than live in the spirit. I'm going to do worldly things instead of godly things. So these two things, and they were true temptations for Jonah. And I want to walk through and say, how can we be encouraged to not get bit with bitterness and not to quit, but submit to the Lord our God. So those are going to be the two things we're going to look at this morning. Jeremy, are you with me today? All right, I want you to join with me and dig in to this book of the Bible today and learn from God's Word today. If you're with me, gentlemen, can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, let's do this this morning. Jonah chapter 1, let's see what we can learn from Jonah, the bitter quitter. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to where? Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Now here is the Lord calling a prophet, calling one of his men, go to Nineveh and call out against it. Men, you think that takes courage? Nineveh, he's going to tell us later, is a city that was 150,000 people. It was a 3 days journey through the city. And he called one man to go in and call out against it. Men, that sounds like a challenge, doesn't it? Yeah. And that's what the Lord does for Jonah. He gives him a big challenge in life. And then you get to verse 3. But Jonah rose to do what?
Flee.
To flee. The Lord gave this man a challenge that was a massive challenge. And Jonah responds by saying, game over, I'm out of here. That's not for me. I can't do that. That's scary. That's big. I'm not getting into that. So he flees. He turns around and goes the other way towards Spain. I'm getting out of here, he says. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from what, gentlemen? Away from what? I can't hear you. Away from what? The presence of the Lord. Well, why would he want to be away from the presence of the Lord? Jonah's given this challenge. He says, that's not for me. I quit. Lord, I'm out of here. I don't want that. I'm going as far away as I can from you. So here's my question for us this morning, gentlemen. Why did he run? Why was he so afraid? Why was he not up to the task? If the Lord can speak to him and tell him what to do, and surely he's heard the stories. This is after the Lord called people out of Egypt and the plagues and led them through the wilderness and bread from the sky. He's seen what the Lord can do. Why doesn't he want to go and do it? Well, it's not because he's just afraid. I'm going to tell you that. It's not because he's just afraid. Let's look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1 of Jonah. We get a little bit bigger insight into the story of what's going on within Jonah. Well, the Lord relents. I'll go ahead and fill you in on this story if you hadn't heard it before. But the Lord relents, and he's not going to bring disaster in chapter 3 upon Nineveh. And the people are saved from their destruction. And we get to chapter 4, and watch what happens. This displeased Jonah exceedingly. So here is the Lord being gracious and kind to the people of Nineveh, and it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was angry. He was bitter. And he prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? Back to chapter 1. That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew who you were, Lord. I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful. What was God? Gentlemen, he was gracious and merciful. And Jonah said, I knew it. I knew that you were gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and you would relent from disaster. And relenting, that's in your character. You are relenting from disaster. So here's my question, man. As you read this, you go, what? I don't get it. Why does he run away? He knows who God is. He knows God's kind, merciful, and gracious. And he runs away because of that? It just doesn't make much sense, does it? What's more is that not only did he want to not go speak to Nineveh, he wanted to flee the what? He wanted to flee the what? The presence of the Lord. Not only did he not want to go be and preach to Nineveh and call out against him, he didn't even want to be around the Lord. You're like, what is going on here? Well, Jonah, yes, Jonah had some problems. And I think if you dig into this, what you're going to see is that Jonah was bitter. He was angry. He was so angry at these people of Nineveh that he said, I'm willing to quit on God because of my anger and my hatred of these people. So, gentlemen, this morning as we think about this, here's my question for you. And we'll develop this just a little bit more, but I want you to consider, does anger in your life, does bitterness against someone or something or some people or some organization or whatever it may be, does bitterness drive you to leave what God is calling you to do? I can tell you that I've talked to many a man who says, I'm just so angry, I don't even want to reconcile with my wife, with my child, with my friend, with whoever it may be. Knowing that the right thing to do is to be compassionate, to be merciful, to be quick to forgive, and to relent of disaster in the same way that we see in Jonah chapter 4. Men, do we let bitterness or anger push us away from the presence of God and the character and the nature of God? I can tell you, I do. And it happens. Sometimes if I don't get my way, I get upset and I say things I shouldn't say. And I think, oh, later I go back and I go, oh, what was I thinking when I said that? Why did I say such a thing? Anger. So men, we have, unless I'm the only one, but I feel like we've got some bitterness just like Jonah has here in his heart. Why was he so angry? And this is a question. What could Nineveh have done to make him so angry? Well, Ray Steadman, he's a commentator that I've read over the years. And he says this. What was so wrong with Nineveh? Just to give you a little idea, Nineveh was the great enemy of the people of Israel. In fact, Nineveh was the capital city of the people who, within a generation, would destroy the northern kingdom and overtake the northern kingdom of Israel. So the Assyrians were this great power, and Nineveh was a great city in this Assyrian empire that was sweeping over and taking over the world. And if you've never read the history or heard of the history of the Assyrian army, they were nasty, y'all. They were nasty. And the things that they would do to people and cities they would overtake, they were despicable. You talk about the Geneva war crimes of our day, they made the vilest of the vile look good. The things that they would do were just deplorable. That's what the Assyrians would do. And so the people of Israel, and Jonah specifically, saw the nasty things that they were involved in and said, I cannot stand those people. I know what they've done. And it's quite possible that some of Jonah's family members or people he knew could have been affected by the things that the Assyrians had done. And so here he stands at the enemy, looking at the enemy and being called to go to the enemy. And Jonah says, no, Lord, that's not in my playbook. I refuse to do it. And his bitterness led to separation from Jonah and the presence of God. So, gentlemen, here's what I want to encourage you today to examine yourself and say, is there any bitterness within you? Is there any bitterness within us that causes us to separate ourselves from God and His presence? Is there a bitterness against someone or something that is drawing us not to proclaim the character and the nature of God to someone when we need to? Gentlemen, let me encourage you and say this. Sometimes when people wrong us greatly, it is the best opportunity for us to display the character of Christ. Think back to Jesus our Lord for a moment, will you? Think back to the one who was rejected by his own people, by his own brothers and sisters, by his mother and father's other children, poking fun at him, rejecting him. laughing at him. It's in the scripture. Go look. Think about those who, by his closest friends, were betrayed. Think about the one who a kiss on the cheek was what sent him to death row. Think about the people that he made. All things were made through him. And he made this people that he could love. And they rejected and hung him on the cross to be killed. We can proclaim Christ-like love, compassion, mercy when we are most rejected. So, man, I want to challenge you the next time that you feel bitterness and rage welling up in you to think about the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ is where bitterness and rage are turned upside down. And you have an opportunity to show mercy and grace and show them that you are not like the world, you are like Jesus. Men, look for the opportunity. Look for it. Men, look for the opportunity. And don't run from the presence of God. Run to show what Jonah did not, mercy and compassion. Look at later down in Jonah chapter 4, verse 10. And the Lord said, this is what Jason read for us earlier. You pity the plant? And later on in the story, the Lord grows up a shade plant. It's a hot day, and Jonah's watching over the city of Nineveh to see if the Lord's going to destroy it or not. And the Lord grows a plant for him. And Jonah just kind of gets up under that plant, enjoys the shade. The east wind's blowing, the scripture says. And he gets up under it, and he enjoys the shade. And then the Lord sends a worm, and it destroys that plant. And what does Jonah do? Well, he goes into his Yosemite Sam, into his grumbling. And here's what he says. The Lord comes back to him and says, you pity the plant? Jonah, you pity the plant for which you did not labor. You didn't make it grow. And it came into being for just one night. Should I not pity Nineveh? A great city who has repented in sackcloth and mourned over their sin and said, Lord, please forgive us. Should I not have pity for a people? You have pity for a plant. Should I not have pity for a people? You did no effort. I have sent messengers. I have presented time and effort into the people of Nineveh to bring them to repentance. This plant came up overnight. These are people who are grown and who have a community and cattle and a whole city there. Are you serious, Jonah? You can have pity on a plant, and I can't have pity on a people who have asked for forgiveness? Men, there's the challenge. Model yourself after the character and nature of God. Model yourself after the character and nature of God, who is merciful, who is compassionate, even on, look there, evil people, even on the enemy. Mercy and compassion. As an aside, let me ask you this. Sometimes it's hard to know how to respond to people that are, quote unquote, the enemy, working against us, working against the cause of Christ. Sometimes it's hard to know because sometimes there are people that no matter what you give and give and give, you give mercy, 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 and they just take advantage of it over and over and over and over again. What are we to do? Gentlemen, how are we to act? And how do we know whether or not to show mercy or to be firm and stay strong? And let me give you a little bit of one of the principles in life that I try to live by. It's a principle, and I hope this will help you. Gentlemen, are you still with me? Here's a principle. How to deal with people who are crossing the line. And here's what I've tried to do. How does God respond? How does the Father respond to me when I am crossing the line? How does the Father respond? How did Jesus respond to people in the Scripture when they crossed the line? Because what you see is when people in Scripture were humble. And when they said, forgive me, you think of the woman at the well, or you think of the woman caught in adultery, or you think of Nicodemus coming to Jesus. When people come with a humble attitude and say, look, I know I'm wrong. You think of that parable of the tax collector and the publican, or the Pharisee and the tax collector there. The Pharisee says, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this guy. And you got the tax collector who comes and says, Lord, I'm sorry I am. I am sinful. Have mercy on me. The Lord responds to them in different ways. And so that's what I'm going to call us to do. And here's what James says, and Peter also quotes the same passage of Scripture. James 4, 6, and 7 says this, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, y'all read this with me, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's read that one more time together in verse 6. God opposes the proud, but gives
grace to the humble.
Men, when we stand against an enemy or someone against who God is, my suggestion is be like Jesus. This is exactly what Jesus did. You can oppose the proud, arrogant man, woman, or power that opposes what God teaches. But if someone comes repentant and humble, if someone says, I'm wrong, I'm a sinner, I've done something wrong, grace, grace, grace. And you look at Jonah, and you have a people who have repented, and you read through chapter 3, you see the repentance of the whole city of Nineveh, and how does Jonah respond? Jonah opposed those who were humble. And that's what the Lord calls him out for. So gentlemen, here's your principle. Don't get bit by bitterness. Give grace to the humble. Men, don't get bit by bitterness. Give grace to the humble. As people are seeking favor in the eyes of God, as they seek to be restored and healed, give grace. But if they are proud and arrogant and against God, you stand firm. You stand firm, and you stand true and be faithful to what God has called you to do. Jonah was bitter, but the Lord was compassionate to those who humbled themselves before him. All right, that's number one. Number two. Number one, don't get bit by bitterness. Number two, the story also frames Jonah in another way. Y'all still with me? Y'all quiet this morning. The story frames Jonah in another way as well. Four times it describes Jonah's response to a situation that he's in. Three times, three of those four, Jonah says, I'd rather die. Just put me out of my misery, Lord. Y'all just kill me. Four times Jonah is given a choice to respond and to be obedient and submit himself to the Lord. And four times Jonah quits. He takes the monopoly board, as it were, and flips the table. Says, I'm out of here. He walks away from the game and says, I'm having nothing to do with this. Jonah quits. And so my second point, first is don't get bit by bitterness, man. Don't get bit by bitterness. Be Christ-like. Like Jesus Christ. Secondly, don't quit. Submit. Don't quit. Submit. And what I say here is this. Submit to the command and the will of God. What Jonah says is, I'd rather quit than submit to God's plan. I'm running away to Tarshish. I'd rather quit than submit to God's plan. Throw me off the boat. I'd rather quit than submit to God's plan. Let's look. Four times. We saw the first one in chapter 1. Let's look at our second one. Chapter 1, verse 7 through 12. Jonah has a chance to repent and go back to Nineveh. Remember, the Lord sends that great storm on the ship. The ship goes on the sea, and the Bible says the Lord sent a great wind. And Jonah goes down and sleeps in the bottom of the boat. A lot like Jesus did in the New Testament, isn't it? Jonah's gone down, he's sleeping in the bottom of the boat. And the people, the pagans, the godless on the top of the boat or on the deck of the boat are saying, let's look in chapter 1, verse 7. They came and said to one another, come, let us cast lots. Let's roll the dice and see on whose account this great evil has come upon us. So they cast lots. The lot fell to Jonah. And they said to him, Jonah, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What's your country? And with what people are you? Oh, man. Jonah says, thinking in his mind, man, they found me out. So he says to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, the God who made the sea and the dry land. I'm the one that's responsible for this. And then the men were exceedingly afraid. Now this is going to contrast Jonah. Here is a group of men who are about to die because of one man being disobedient to God. And rather than the people saying, Jonah, we hate you, we're throwing you off the boat, how do they respond? They're afraid. And they want to save his life. Now, how ironic is this? The prophet of God despises a people and would rather die himself, kill himself, than go run away and kill himself than go preach mercy to a people. And the pagans surrounding him are trying to save his life. A man who put their lives in danger. Watch what they do. They were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what have you done? For the men knew he was fleeing for the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do that the sea might quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up, hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down before you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. So there they go. They're trying everything they can to save his life. They eventually, they throw him in. But here are the pagans, the godless, being compassionate and kind to Jonah. And you have Jonah saying, just kill me. I'd rather die than go preach mercy. Kill me. I don't want to do it. Kill me. Throw me out. Jonah 1:13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous. Then they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleases to you. So they picked up Jonah, hurled him in the sea. Reluctantly, they throw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Jonah said, I'm out of here. Men, you know the temptation sometimes is for us to give up. Sometimes when we're criticized for not doing our job well enough. Sometimes when we are criticized for not knowing something that we're expected to know. Sometimes we get criticisms from all angles. And even at home where we go, we're supposed to be safe. We might get criticized, run down. And you think, you know what? I'm out. You can act like that. I'm out of here. I'm not even going to listen. The temptation is there. Men, God has called us not to give up, not to be quitters. Jonah chapter 3. Y'all still with me? Jonah chapter 3. Watch what happens. Jonah began. He goes. He decides. They throw him out. As y'all know, the fish swallows him. He gets vomited back on dry land, an insult. But he gets up and he says, he goes to the city. All right, Lord, fine. I'm still alive. You won't kill me. You won't let me die. I'll go do what I'm going to do. By the way, this is not really a children's story. It's really pretty bad stuff going on here. Hatred, quitting. It's just the character of God is this is it's tough. But Jonah goes to the city. He calls out, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believe God. They call for a feast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. Even the king says, we are repenting. We're changing our ways. The city repents. And this is good news, right? Good news. It's good news unless you're Jonah because you've been bit by bitterness. So Jonah 4, chapter 4, verse 3. Now therefore, O Lord, please take my life from me. You've relented against these people. They've repented. Just take my life. I don't want to live anymore. I cannot stand. Bitterness has taken over. I just want to quit. I just want to quit. It's better for me to die than to live, Jonah says. How does he get there? And here's the fourth time. Then, in his grace, the Lord makes a plant, which we talked about, to give shade to Jonah. And watch how Jonah responds. Now the Lord God, in his grace, appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from what? From his discomfort. God is being gracious to give comfort to Jonah. At this point, a man that does not deserve the grace of God is getting compassion from the Lord. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant, but when it came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant, and it withered. When the sun arose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint, and he asked that he might what? It's the fourth time. Jonah just says, Lord, I'd rather die. It's better for me to die than to live. So what's the point here? Jonah was so bit with bitterness. He was so proud that he could not submit to God's grace. And he didn't even want to be around God's grace because it highlighted the fact that he didn't have it. So men, what do we do with this? Well, here's what we need to understand. Sometimes when we're angry, sometimes when we're proud and arrogant, we just want to quit and give up and not care about anybody else. All we care about is about ourselves. So I quit. I turn the table over. I'm through with this. We show that we have a problem of submission to God. And Jonah here was faced with the choice to quit or to submit. And he chooses to quit. He quits on God. So, man, I've got two challenges for you this morning. One is don't get bit by bitterness. When you are treated in an unfair way, think of the cross. Think of Jesus Christ our Lord, who paid the sin debt, who paid the debt for all men, all of men who would repent unto him, that they might be saved. Jesus Christ was betrayed, and you can be betrayed too. And respond like the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, rather than submit, Jonah quit on God. And so, men, what do we need to do this morning? What do we need to understand from this? We don't need to quit on God. We need to submit to him and say, Lord, whatever your good and perfect will has for my life, I will embrace it. And if it's a hot wind, if it's a shady tree, I will embrace it. I'm not going to desire to quit, to give up, and be selfish, but I'm going to submit to whatever you're calling me to do in life. So, men, don't get bit with bitterness, and don't quit, submit. And all of that can be accomplished at the cross for you. Let me close with this thought, man. I know that oftentimes in life, most men are encouraged by success. We like to conquer things. We like to do things to win. And you see so many men involved in athletics and those sorts of things because men like to win. Now I want to encourage you that the greatest victory that you can have in life is to submit. And this is what Jesus said, the first will be last and the last will be first. And for us in a culture that values winning and being great and being first so much, to hear the first will be last and the last will be first doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But let me tell you, gentlemen, the greatest victory we can have is to humble ourselves at the throne of Jesus Christ our Lord and say, Lord, I submit to you. I don't quit. I'm going to keep battling sin in my life, but I submit to your authority over me, and I will do whatever you call me to do. I give myself to you, Lord. You are now the authority in my life, and I give myself to you. In our VBS this week, we called it getting in the game. You get in the game. Are you on God's team, or are you on the other team? And man, I'll put it this way. There's one way to be on God's team, or in God's family, or in God's kingdom, however you want to call it, and that is to submit everything that we have to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my question is for you, can you overcome bitterness? Can you overcome your past failure? Can you overcome your sin, your lusts, your deceits, the lies that you're believing? And can you submit and say, Jesus, I will submit to you. You are the King. I will submit to you. Man, that's a challenge today. Can we submit rather than quit? Can we submit to the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we love you and we trust you and we thank you for loving us and not quitting on us and for not being angry with us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for men in this room today. Draw us to full submission to the Lord Jesus Christ that we might honor you with our lives. Oh God, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.